Welcome back to Murder in the Black. It is your host, Steph.
And I'm MD.
All right, so I just want to give a warning to those of you who are particularly sensitive about child murders. We are continuing the second part of the Harper family murders. So we want to protect your peace. And if you are sensitive, I totally understand it and get it, because we will be detailing in this part two about what happened in the Harper family murders. So we want to tell you, you might want to skip this episode and come back on April 4th, because we will be getting into another episode. But go ahead, MD, take us away. Let's get into part two.
Grab your coffee if it's the morning and your wine if it's the evening. But either way, let's get into it.
This is Murder in the Black with Steph and MD.
So let me give you a reminder of where we were at the end of part one. We last ended with the investigators realizing that Vincent Brothers did not have his credit card with him, but in fact, he asked his brother to use the credit card and sign his name. We also learned that Vincent rented a car and drove what seemed to be the equivalent mileage necessary to get from Columbus, Ohio to Bakersfield. But they didn't have enough evidence outside of the mileage to prove that he, in fact, drove to Bakersfield. So the investigators had to think outside of the box. They reasoned that if you're driving from one end of the country to the other end of the country, then you're likely to encounter bugs that are indigenous to certain regions. That's right, you heard me, bugs. And these indigenous bugs, when driving late at night, land on the vehicle and likely provide an indication to what regions or locations that the vehicle traveled through. So the Bakersfield Police Department worked with the FBI to recover parts of the vehicle and analyze bug evidence. This was so interesting to me. Steph, have you ever heard of another case that used bug evidence?
I can't say that I heard of another case, but it's not unlikely. Like, you know, because I think it falls in line with forensics and science, and all of that goes hand in hand.
Yeah, and it's really amazing that these investigators thought so creatively to think this may be a way that we can gather some more information. So they partnered with a college professor who was an entomologist, and they removed the radiator from the vehicle and asked the professor to analyze what bugs were found on the radiator. Now, while the professor was doing the entomologist thing, the investigators located each person that rented the vehicle prior to Vincent Brothers. They wanted to determine where each renter traveled while they were in that vehicle. And what they discovered was these previous renters did not travel further west than Michigan. So they didn't go past Michigan. This was important information for the investigators to gather. So now, armed with this new information, the investigators awaited the analysis from the professor. Now, what the professor found on the radiator was night bugs. These night bugs mainly, obviously, came out at night, but they were indigenous to the southwest part of the United States. Specifically, these bugs were only indigenous west of the Rocky Mountains. This was a huge moment for the investigators, because they knew that previous renters, remember, they did not travel past Michigan. And it meant that this rental car was likely in Bakersfield, or at least in the greater Southern California area. So at this point, the investigators have a boost of adrenaline, so to speak. They know they are close, but after working with several DAs, I'm sure, they know that they're going to need a little bit more evidence, at least as much evidence as they can find, to nail who they believe committed these heinous murders. So they reach out to the community and they are asking for help. Now, you got to remember, this is a poor community, and they have a history of distrust with law enforcement, you know, the code of silence, and people not wanting to come forward. However, as Steph and I mentioned in part one, this community loved this family, and they wanted desperately to help. So one person initially came forward, and she stated that she worked at the Rite Aid, which was like a local drugstore. She stated that in the early evening hours of July the 4th, she saw Vincent at her store and interacted with him. Then two other men came forward, and they stated that around midnight, they saw Vincent pacing around looking nervously in front of the house for about 20 minutes on the same day. And what was really important about these two individuals is that they had known Vincent for many years. So this wasn't just like some random person that's like, oh yeah, I saw his face, or I saw a guy that looked like him. No, they were people that knew Vincent and knew him for quite a while. So the investigators had much more evidence at this point. They have all what they believe evidence that they need to convict or to bring Vincent to trial. But they just felt like they needed more. And Steph, what they felt like they needed was a motive. And I think that this is really interesting because it speaks to the human need of just wanting to know. What are your thoughts about that? What are your thoughts about just feeling like I have it, it's black and white in front of me, but it's all the pieces are not necessarily coming together, needing to know the why to make it all sink?
I think that's just a part of being a human. I think it's natural. It's just as natural as breathing. You want to know, why would somebody be so sadistic to go inside of a house and commit, you know, a murder and wipe out three generations of a family? And, you know, you can get with, you know, committing one homicide, but, you know, killing children and women, it's crazy. And so I understand the need to want to know a motive, but much like the Irwin brothers, if you haven't checked out that crime case, definitely go listen to it. But I personally, for me, I just think that I don't necessarily have to know a motive. I just think that just innately, after being a crime sleuth for so many years, I just think that people can just be outright evil. And there can be sometimes no motive. But I know that just it's human nature to just want to know why. Like, but why though? Why would you want to? And so I just get it. From an intellectual point of view, I think we all want to just know why. And so I definitely understood that I could relate to this detective. And it was palpable. Like, you could feel it on a very visceral level from this detective. He just wanted to know why. And I highly encourage you guys to go look at this documentary. And it's kind of funny. I realized in part one because I edit this podcast, and y'all know I do everything here on this podcast. And so when MD asked, she was like, hey, you know, come up with a title. And she asked me that like right on the heels of, you know, doing it. And I was like, Family Massacre. And I was like, girl, that's the name of the show. Like, come on.
Right. But it was such a great name.
I highly suggest you guys go and watch it, because this detective, literally, he made you feel his emotions. He was so connected to this case, and he wanted to know why. So I know you guys, probably if you're listening to this case and you've never heard it, or you're just listening to us retell it, because we had a lot of you in the comments say, I'm from Bakersfield, and I remember this case like it happened yesterday. So, like, you know, you were probably wondering, who would do this? This is crazy. So, yeah, like, just wanting to know that motive for sure is wild.
Absolutely. It defies logic sometimes, but that's what drove these investigators to keep going, even after they had what probably would have been enough information to bring to the DA.
Right. And so for the detective, he was really trying to figure out why. And that's really what encouraged him to go look further into Vincent's background. And what he discovered is that Vincent was not at all what he portrayed to be. And we know that all too well here at Murder in the Black, that all that glitter is not gold and all reality is not what it portrays to be. And that wasn't Vincent. I mean, Vincent was an assistant principal, but, you know, he was known to harass women at work. And we know that he was a notorious ladies man. I mean, he was seeing multiple women, and they went and talked to some of these women, and these women thought that they were the only one, but they weren't the only one trying to be the only one. You know what I mean? They also thought that they were going to pursue a relationship with him in the future. Like, they thought, okay, yeah, I'm the only one, and we're going to be together, and we're going to, you know, sell off into the sunset and get married. For a lot of people, he was a respected community leader, but as they dug into his background, he had assaulted women, he had a misdemeanor, and MD and I were talking, and she was like, well, can you be a vice principal and, you know, have a misdemeanor? And, you know, different states have different rules, but I know here in the state of Texas, if it's a felony charge, I believe, is where you can't work in education anymore. But you can have a misdemeanor and still work, I believe. Now, y'all can correct me if I'm wrong on that, but, you know, he had several interactions with women where, you know, it was red flags through and through. And what really set off the detectives and really kind of gave them a clear motive on why he would want to kill the children is he had just one child, and his former wife, he had been married before, and his former wife took him to court, and she asked the judge for an increase in child support because it is expensive to raise children. And as they grow, it doesn't decrease, it increases. And so she asked the judge for more money, and the judge went over his financials, and he said, well, please, judge, don't raise the child support. I can't afford it. Well, the judge looked over the financials, and he said, well, sir, I'm going to raise it. And he only had one child.
Because you can't afford it based on the financials.
Based on his finances, the judge determined that he could afford it, and he raised it. And based on everything that the detectives looked at, they determined that, you know, he had three children with Joni, and his marriage was falling apart. And they surmised that he killed his three children, along with Joni and her mother, because he did not want to pay that child support.
Wow. And even knowing this, it really invokes, I know some of you are like, MD, you knew this, and yet it still invokes this wow, because it's like, how senseless over child support?
Over child support. So, in April 2004, investigators felt like they had enough to arrest him, and he was arrested and charged with 5 counts of first-degree murder, and he also had a special charge as well, and he sat in jail until 2007 when his trial began. According to prosecutors, Joni and Ernestine, and this is the story of what they believed what happened. So this is where it gets very emotional. And so I'm going to try to handle this with as much care as possible. So according to the prosecutors, Joni and Ernestine went to church and then left and went to Black Angus restaurant. They got something to eat and they came back home and they took their naps. And that's when Vincent made his way back into the home via the glass sliding door. He made his way down to the hallway into the bedroom, and Joni had her three children, and they were sleeping. Joni is shot, and she's killed immediately. He shoots her 5 times. He shoots Lindsay and Marshall. There was a lot of noise and gunfire and screaming. Ernestine, who was asleep down the hall, is aroused out of her sleep. And she comes down. She announces herself and yells out that she has her antique revolver. This gives him a chance to move down the hallway, and he shoots her 2 times. He comes back down to the bedroom where his oldest son, Marcus, the oldest, was awake. Now, Marcus had heard all the gunfire, the screaming, the commotion in the house. And Marcus was so terrified that he bit through his finger straight to the bone. And that's when his father shot him at close range. Now, after 4 weeks of trial, the deliberation only lasted 3 days, and he was found guilty on all counts. On September 27, 2007, the Superior Court Judge Michael Bush sentenced brothers to death based on the jury's verdict. They ordered brothers to pay restitution. He was later placed into the custody of California Department of Correction and placed on death row at San Quentin State Prison, where he remains today. And that is the story of the Harper family murders. On to our takeaway.
You know, this is such a devastating case because of just, you know, 3 generations in one fell swoop. But I mean, till this, it doesn't matter how many times I've heard this case, and I feel like, you know, I heard this case several years ago, and then in preparation for our podcast, I, you know, did my research and watched documentaries, researched, you know, things online, and then just in the retelling of it here on this podcast. And no matter how many times, it still does not stop me from like almost coming to tears listening to how horrific these people, this family lost their lives, especially at the end, and how the little boy bit through his finger out of terror. Like, I try to imagine, and I think I don't allow myself to fully go there because it's too much. It's too much to bear. It reminds me, and it almost is like, oh, I just don't even want to talk about it, even in this takeaway, because it's just too much and I don't want to get overwhelmed with emotion and, you know, whatever. But I know every year, September 11th, and, you know, Steph will tell you, like, I'm a very empathetic person. I like feel on a level that I think most people don't. And so it just like really like weighs on me, and I feel like heavy and overwhelmed. But And at one point I tried to just stay away from the news and the commentary of what happened on September 11th in our country. And I never forget reading a post that said, I need to remember this, and I need to sit with these emotions, because although I am not directly impacted because of, I didn't know any of the victims, but their families have to live with this every single day. We can live with this for one day. We can live in this pain for one day. And that's how I feel right now. We can live in this pain for one moment, for one podcast. The terror that they felt. It's evil what he did. And that investigator tried to figure it out, because he couldn't understand why somebody would do this to these kids, to these children. Like, what did they do? What did they do to deserve that? But we can live in it. And that's my takeaway. We can live in this terror for this moment, for this podcast, because their family has to live with it for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, thanks for being so vulnerable. Like, I hope you guys really appreciate that vulnerability. And that's what we try to do. I feel like that's the millennial in us. And I said it on our paid subscription. I think, you know, we really show our age in being millennials. You know, we're PBS kids. We got to give you a takeaway. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We have to give you something to take away with you. But inside of that, I really think we honor the victims and we honor their stories, because we don't want to sensationalize this. This is not just for entertainment. These are people's real lives. The Harper family has to sit with this pain every single day. They have to sit with this grief every single day. Every anniversary that rolls by during the year, but throughout the year. You know what I'm saying? And so their life was worth so much more than child support. You know what I mean? And the one thing that I think MD definitely summarized it well, but the one thing I want to leave you guys with is Michelle, who was one of Joni's really good friends, she said, she described each one of the children's personalities, right? And every one of us on this, you know, listeners who was listening, we know a child. And so it's just a blessing to be able to grow and develop. And those children never have the opportunity to fully live out their lives because someone that they trusted, their own father, snatched that from them simply because he did not want to allow them to grow up, because he didn't want to pay for them to grow up. And so I just want to stress the importance of realizing the blessings of being allowed to just simply be and to exist. And so I just hope that it never becomes so cliche to say it's a blessing to be here and to exist and to kiss on your babies and the children that you know and the children that you do love and care about, to watch them, to be able to grow and flourish and to see their personalities grow and develop. That is a blessing to just be here. And so that's my cosign to everything that MD said, that it really is a blessing to be here and to grow and to develop. And once again, a big shout out to 3 Evolve for suggesting this case. It was a blessing to just revisit this case as at a different space in my own life. And, you know, you never think about revisiting various true crime cases. You know, you think, oh, I've seen that, and you never go back and rewatch it. So it was definitely good actually going back and rewatching this case and being able to share this particular case with you guys. So moving on, we're going to get into our poll from last week. All right. So MD, I'm going to ask you, before we get into our listeners' poll results, I'm going to ask you, if I simply just asked you, hey, MD, I need you to go buy me some things on this particular day, use my credit card, are you going to do it? And the police, the same scenario, the same exact scenario, what are you doing? The police came to you afterwards. You lied at first, but then they double back and say, well, we know it was you. What are you doing?
Well, first of all, I would absolutely do it. If you asked me to take your card and go buy something, I feel like the only pushback I would give is, Steph, I don't need your card. I'll buy it myself. And then you would probably insist, and I wouldn't make such a big deal about it. I wouldn't think anything was odd either, because I know your life is busy and you just need help, whatever. I would have absolutely done it. No questions asked. Same thing if it was my brother. But if I find out shortly after that your family died on said day that I made these credit card purchases, and then simultaneously I get a call from the police, and the police approach me and they ask me, did you use your sister's credit card? I would not lie.
Yeah, I'm not lying.
So I'm off jump. Off the first.
On GP.
Yeah, like, I'm not about to lie. Because here's the thing. I'm not going to jail for nobody. Not you. Not my mama. Not my children. Not my husband. And I know some of y'all out there like, not your children. Not my children. I'm not going to jail for you. I am going to raise you in such a way that you understand that we are not committing crimes. Because we, and if we do, there are consequences to said crimes, okay? Now, I'll try to keep you from jail, meaning as an attorney, I'm going to give you the best defense. But am I going to go take your place? I'm not Jesus. I'm not taking your place.
I'm not Jesus. Okay.
I'm not going to take your place. So, yeah, no.
She said Jesus paid it all.
Jesus paid it all, not me. I did not pay it all.
She said I'm not the one of the two.
No, I'm not. What would you do?
Yeah, I'm not doing that. Yeah. and as soon as the police ain't even gotta, I feel like the police don't even have to come to me, because on the day, like at the police station, when we find out, when somebody comes and tells you that your whole family is dead in Columbus, Ohio, I'm gonna be like, bruh, your family's dead. And I knew you weren't with me when you came to visit. I'm looking at you crazy. What's going on?
Right. And I feel that. I don't think that I would have, one, put it together that quick. But then, two, I feel like I would not have necessarily approached the police, because I'm not going to offer
I wouldn't have
evidence.
Approached them. But I think I would have been suspicious.
I'm definitely calling you out, though.
Yeah, I'm calling you out. Calling I think you, that's what that is. I'm
and
calling
I'm saying,
you out.
What in the heck? What did you just involve me in? Have you lost your absolute love and mind? You need to go to the police yourself. And if you don't.
I think I might.
So you better figure it out. Because I'm not going down for you.
Yeah, what you doing?
What you do?
This is looking very suspicious.
what did our fam say?
This is what they said. They said, so here were the options. Same scenario. So I'm not going to repeat the scenario because y'all know what it is. The options were, yes, protecting my brother. 0% said nothing to that. No, singing like a canary bird. 41%. Depends, what do the police know? 16%. Yes, I would, but when I knew his fam died, I'm going to the police. Tied, 41%.
Okay.
So y'all kind of responded how we would.
Yeah,
like,
that's good. That's good to know. That's good to know.
Y'all went back and forth. So that sounds about right. Okay, so I asked y'all just what y'all thought about the episode, and Kiki said, it's really sad that it wasn't enough for him to pack his bags and leave. He had to destroy his family and pretend to be a victim. Agreed, Kiki. DeWitt said, I know this story. It's very tragic. You explain it very well. Vincent, he tried to get away, but it caught up with him. Absolutely, DeWitt. Definitely, definitely, definitely. All right, now, because it just hit the fan.
And we had like a little bit of a shorter episode.
And it's a shorter episode. We're just going to tell y'all our opinion, and then we're going to leave it as a poll question because we want to know what y'all think. This Diddy Bop, No Diddy episode, y'all, MD, tell us what you, I mean, give us your attorney as much as you can, because we still don't know just a whole lot.
Yeah, there's not a lot to know. It's not even enough to do a legal analysis, to be honest. I think that it's telling, and I told you this yesterday when we kind of talked through it. I think it's very telling that Homeland Security raided this man's house. Not one house, but both of them. Yeesh. Like, just think about it. Like, not the local FBI, because everybody has an FBI in their state, you know, or what have you.
Right.
Not the local FBI, not the local police department. Homeland Security. They have jurisdiction over a certain, you know, subset of things. Like the DEA has a jurisdiction over, I think it was, I'm saying DEA, but I mean like the tobacco arm. It's a, I can't think of the acronym right now, but it's like tobacco armed, and they're over like drugs. They're the law enforcement that's particularly over drugs at the federal level, right? And so, you know, that's not, these are not the entities that raided Diddy's home. The entity that raided Diddy's home was Homeland Security. And I just think, from what I know, because I could be wrong, and correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I've seen on, you know, TMZ, Shade Room, you know, all the same places y'all getting information. Right, even CNN, like, you know, like everybody's talking about it, is it's Homeland Security. And I just think that's very telling. Like, what is it that they had on Diddy that made them decide to go raid his home? And obviously they had to get a warrant, because you have, you know, a right of privacy to your home. And so in order to access your home, you have to have probable cause that is then taken to a judge, and they have to sign off on this warrant to gain access to your premises. So I just think, I just wish I could see that warrant.
Right.
What is in this warrant? What are they looking for? Because they have to put it in the warrant, and they have to specify date, address. They have to specify what areas of the home that they're looking. They have to specify what it is that they're looking for. All of these things have to be in the warrant. And I wish that I was privy to the warrant, because it would allow us to know. I also think that it's interesting that his sons were arrested. Now, his sons could have been detained, not arrested. Mm-hmm. So those are two different things. Like, hey, we're just going to have you stand right here. We're going to handcuff you because we don't want you to move. But I don't know. Like, I'm just kind of like.
And it sounds like they were detained. Like, because like, well, what it kind of seems like from this morning, from what I read, Justin got his stuff and he left, from what I read this morning. Now, that may be wrong, but like you said, it's hard to tell because they were just handcuffed. And like you said, it could be you were arrested or you were detained, because we don't really know. But yeah. Who really knows? There's a lot of question marks.
And I think that that's what kind of just makes this particular situation so interesting. But I'm glad that it seems as if, and I don't know what they're going after him for, but it just seems as if he's getting his just due. You know, I remember this feeling, this same feeling with R. Kelly. I remember this same feeling with Harvey Weinstein and
Jeffrey Epstein. They went after Harvey Weinstein. I'm not sure if it was for sex trafficking, but they went after
Jeffrey. The whole you've been doing things in
Hollywood.
Right, you've been doing things for so long, and you've been quote unquote getting away with it, and now somebody's holding your feet to the fire and saying, absolutely not. I just think that that's what it appears to be based on what has come out from what Cassie has said. It appears to be that way based on what this other guy put in his, you know, lawsuit. It seems as if Diddy is getting his just day and just due. Like, I think that's exciting. But then what do you think, Steph, about them finding his airplane in the Caribbean?
That's interesting. Because they're saying that, well, all of this is surrounded by sex trafficking, right? Like, that's why they raided his home. And so I kept waiting for them to detain, arrest Diddy. I'm like, where is he at? They went into two of his homes. It wasn't just one. It was two. So I was like, okay, they got his sons are detained and or arrested. Where is Diddy? Diddy's in the Caribbean. And they said they were, supposedly, he's awaiting to go to the Maldives because there's no extradition there. That's what MD was telling me. That's what a lot of the attorneys online who were, you know, kind of awaiting to give their legal analysis, because everybody's in the wait right now, like trying to figure out what is happening here, like what's going to happen. And according to one attorney that I watch surrounding a lot of these things, he was like, well, if they're going to arrest him, this does not look good if he's going to get in front of a federal judge. If he wants any type of bond, you are a risk. Your flight risk, because you look like you're trying
right,
to
so I'm gonna
country.
So I'm right. Listen, there's only so many places that you can go. I think it's like two that I know of off the top of my head that are places you can go that does not have extradition to the United States, and the Maldives is one of them. So like, you know, I don't know why you stopping in the Caribbean, sir. I'm not trying to let you get away, but I'm just saying, what is happening? But I just looked this up, Steph, and it's on RollingStone.com, and they said that four Jane Does and one John Doe sat down for interviews with the SDNY, so the Southern District of New York investigators, for a probe into Diddy's related to alleged sex trafficking, domestic violence, and racketeering. So maybe this is all coupled with what Cassie alleged, coupled with what this other guy alleged in his lawsuit. Mm-hmm. I can't think of his name. That's why I keep saying other guy. But we all know that there's been two very visible lawsuits against Diddy. Mm-hmm. One with Cassie, which he settled. And then the other with this guy that claimed that, you know, he did all this work for Diddy.
His producer.
Yeah, his producer. And he did all this work and he never got paid. And so coupled with those two, you know, lawsuits and these five Jane Does, or four Jane Does and one John Doe, sounds like, you know, people are coming forward and they're saying, we're willing to spill the tea. Now, you know, you may not know this about Steph and I, but we entertain a lot of conspiracy theories. And it's just fun to listen to a lot of the time. One of the conspiracy theories, Steph, and so I want to let the MIB fam into some of our conversations that we have about conspiracy theories. And as it relates to this, one of the conspiracy theories that I heard today is that they raided Diddy's place to get rid of all the evidence against other people that Diddy was about to expose.
That I've heard
that was in connection with all the other stuff. Because, I mean, obviously, if Diddy's going down, you know he's got information on other people that were involved, that came to the parties, that was probably a part of the sex trafficking. And he's probably not at the top, you know, of the food chain. What do you think about that?
I mean, could be. It's possible. Anything's possible. I mean, after watching Nickelodeon, Quiet on the Set, I mean, and you know, just anything is possible, right? So, anything's possible.
Right.
What do you guys think? And I think we're on the early side of this, and so we're really kind of like just kind of awaiting, like a lot of these legal analysts and everybody else, we're in waiting. And between now and Thursday, when y'all hear this, a lot more stuff probably has came out.
For sure. And specifically, you know, I want to just make clear, because I want to be as accurate as possible, that raids don't always lead to an arrest.
True.
You know, so I mean, yes, they raided his house. They raided both houses. I think the reason why a lot of legal analysts are assuming that he will be arrested, or that the charges are forthcoming, is because of all the additional pieces that we know about. The two lawsuits, you know, now with these, you know, people coming forward and talking to investigators. So we, you know, at this point, it's just a lot unknown and we're waiting. But it sure is shaping up to be the year of exposure, like so many people have said.
Sure. Absolutely. So tell us what you think in the poll, in the questions, just about this case, the Harper case, and, you know, specifically, and then tell us what you guys think this Diddy case is shaping up to be. If you think it's just going to be nothing at all. And, you know, it's all going to blow in the wind. It's just going to be something people are going to talk about for the next 2 weeks, and then they won't talk about it at all, and he won't get arrested, and it'll be nothing. Or, you know, it'll just be something that maybe, maybe not. Let us know what you think. I did want to address something, though. You know, our Apple, as far as paid subscription, so if you signed up on Apple, this is how it shows up. It will immediately show up. All of the paid subscription stuff will immediately pop up in your feed. And what I do when I record an episode is I immediately upload it to Apple first, because Apple takes the longest time to process. And so I upload it to Apple first, and then I upload it to Spotify, because Spotify is very quick. If you ever have any problems with your feed on Apple, let me know as soon as possible. I am always accessible via our email or on our Instagram DM. You can even hit me up on my personal. Like, I'm very accessible. I always want to talk to you guys. I recently talked to someone, and she was the only person that did not have it in her feed. Like, everybody else had it in their feed, and I don't know why. Technology is very quirky like that, but I was able to get it for her, and that's how committed I am to y'all. Like, I'm trying to get it up and going, and I'm not an IT person, but I have intelligence, and we can get it going. It's not that hard, okay? So if you have any problems, I want you to know that I'm here for you. We're going to work it out, because you're spending your coin and you're spending your book. But we're always going to have a free platform where we're uploading regularly on Thursdays. But for everybody else, if you pay, then we are uploading on Tuesdays for you guys, and that will show up in your feed. And if you have any problems, let us know, and we will get on it as soon as possible and keep you updated. If there are any updates, we will always let you know. So that's just a announcement for you guys to know. But we will see you guys next week. And we do have some up and coming announcements for you guys for the summer. And we are going to be bringing our sixth season to a close soon, because we got the summer coming up. So that means we're bringing our sixth season to a close. But we are excited, and we will be seeing you guys next week. So I love you. Bye.